Yo!
And he actually listened to the track. I say cut it up, he cut it up both times, right?
Oh, he started low, huh? Yeah.
The type of people make the club everything that's paid, the night that's gone by. But still I find the time to put that bomb off in your eye. Total chaos for these playoffs. So we was amps and we're taking another route to represent the Dungeon family like day. Great day. Me and my nigga decide to take the back way. We stabbing every city, then we headed to that back cave. ATL, Georgia, what do we do for ya? Bulldog and hoes like them Georgetown hoes. Boy, you sign the silly thing, my room is sitting pretty. Doing donuts while you suckers like them suckers around titties. Damn, we the committee, gon' burn it down. But us gon' bust you in the mouth with the chorus now. Say, I
push that puss. Everybody move to the back of the bus. Do you wanna bump and slump with us? We the type of people make the club get crumb. Say, hi, push that puss. Everybody move to the back of the bus. Do you wanna bump and slump with us? We the type of people make the club get crumb.
I ain't a fan. Hey, y'all, this is the folks. The Good Brothers of Views from the 7 here to review episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance. Yeah. God damn, they dragging these motherfuckers out, though.
Yeah, they is. They might as well just hit the last four all
Ooh,
the time.
Man. Are they dragging them out, man? I'm getting tired of the back and forth, bro.
But these episodes was much better than 3 and 4.
I like the back and forth.
I can't stand that shit. Like, they start getting good. They start getting the good shit. They start giving us the good shit in the 97-98 season, and then fast rewind all the way back. Like, God damn!
You need that for the people that haven't paid attention. Man, you need that shit, for people that don't know.
They drawing that shit out.
It's a two for one. It's like a Michael Jordan documentary, and it's the last season documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So them plugging them holes in. So
in the beginning, man, peace to Kobe, man. That shit. Was it hard for y'all? Like, was y'all like emotional and shit when y'all seen him on there?
Fuck no, it was like 2 seconds.
He said, "Fuck that."
Oh, shit. God, fuck no. No, I wasn't emotional, but damn, it wasn't fuck no. God, Jesus. Yeah.
It was like quick though. Like,
no, it was. It was quick, but even that, it still wasn't
emotional.
Kobe played
with Jordan. Okay, move on. Like, that's how fast it was. Like,
I just, you know, it was cool to me because. They could clearly see that at 19 he was getting ready to take over.
Yeah, yeah.
You could clearly
locker room talk on him. Yeah, for sure.
That's real nigga locker room talk. Yeah. Like,
motherfucker ain't waiting for nothing to come to him. He gonna go out there and take everything.
Yeah, you know they're veterans, so you know of course they gonna like shield it with talking shit. But they clearly know this dude. He's coming.
Yeah,
he's coming.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I appreciate, you know, Michael for, lending a hand. Like, you rarely get that from the greats.
He saw a player that emulated everything he did, though.
But it's almost like I can go to a person and ask for advice, right? But it's different when you ask for some shit that normally one wouldn't ask.
But you also got to put it in context. Jordan on his way out the league. I don't think 1993 Jordan is going to give Kobe, you know, that type of information.
He was asking about how can he read the defender.
Yeah.
Coming off of his turnaround jumper.
Yeah.
How can he, a better way to read a defender? And that's not a normal. That wouldn't be the first question I would ask.
Yeah.
Jordan.
I don't think Jordan over his career gave Clyde Drexler any advice on game. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Jordan on his way out the league at 98, okay, this is the young brother right here seeing worthy. Let me pass on this information.
But then he also was like, if you need something else, hit me. It's kind of like, okay, remember when we did the review with brother Mustafa, right?
Okay.
And it wasn't until we bought up the movies when he was like, "Oh."
Yeah.
Something, you know, you didn't click it. You're asking me something that I'm really, really into. Yeah. And I think of all the questions that Kobe could have asked him, I don't know if Jordan really thought that would have been the one.
Yeah.
The only thing that really stood out to me about it was Kobe. It's Jordan going to Kobe how he did. Like, that was it. Like, Jordan telling Kobe, like, yeah, you can call me, and yeah, giving him advice. Because outside of Kobe, only people we really know to be Jordan friends was, like, the Magic Johnson having a direct contact before and after his career.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the only thing that, like, stood out. Like, oh, that's dope.
So, but it was the same way with Magic, though.
Magic, oh, because Magic was passing the torch to Jordan.
And after Jordan won the chip against Magic, then it was Magic,
that,
you know.
I wouldn't call that passing the torch. I wouldn't call that passing the torch.
He took that motherfucker.
Getting your ass whooped, and it's like, okay, this is what it is. Yeah, like,
but I think
I don't think Bird or Magic passed the torch.
Not willingly.
Yeah.
It was like, he took that motherfucker on.
Yeah, for sure.
It's different with Magic, though, because Magic has that kind of personality where Magic is friends with everybody. Jordan wasn't friends. He's not now friends with everybody. Like, clearly.
Didn't see that sentiment until Jordan won that chip. And then, obviously, we know Magic only played, what, 2 more years after that? So,
Did he? Yeah. I don't even know if it was two more seasons. Like, one. Because he stopped that next season, didn't he?
No.
Like,
he played. I know for a fact that he played in the 92 All-Star game. So, he at least played to 92.
Okay.
So, you know, fast rewind. The Dream Team, right?
Yeah.
This is what I mean by he didn't. It's perfect that you try to use that analogy, because this is what I mean by he took that shit. So, the Dream Team practice.
Yeah.
And they going at it.
Yeah.
And basically, all Mike was saying was, this is the 90s.
Pretty much.
Yeah. This is the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit over with.
And then followed it by beating the shit out of, what, 10 straight?
Yeah, 10 straight?
10 straight. Give me another player that could turn it on like that.
Outside of Kobe?
It's not a lot.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot.
LeBron can turn it on like that. They take a whole lot of motivation, though. Mike is the only one that you could just say a little bit of shit to. And, you know, but we've seen points in LeBron's career when he's done that. No, it's rare for Joe.
It's rare.
But it's possible.
Against the collection of the best that the league has to offer, though. Like, it's one thing to say.
I don't even think he would have got to that point, because he's so friendly with everybody in the fucking league that wouldn't even been the setting.
Yeah, that's why I said only outside of Kobe, it's not really too many you could think that just turned it on like that.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, and
I came here to kill y'all. Like, this is competition. I don't care how many times we shook hands. Like, it's fuck you when we on this court.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't like to compare, I really don't, between Kobe, Jordan, and LeBron. I really don't like to. But there's one thing that separated him from all of them.
Who was him, first of all?
Jordan.
Okay.
When Kobe was in the league, when Kobe was in his prime, right, yeah, there were still players that you could say on his level.
Yeah.
Who?
You could say Tim Duncan was on his level his entire career.
Tim Duncan had a better career, honestly.
Yeah, but, you know, you're talking about levels. Yeah, for sure. You could say Tim Duncan was there. Garnett was there, you know.
In my opinion, I don't know if there's ever been a season where LeBron was clear-cut the best player in the league.
It's been...
Without the media, just pure basketball terms.
If
has
we talk
ever been the best player.
If you're talking one on one, you got to say he was the best from like 2010 to, you know, probably 2013, something like that. You know what I'm saying? When KD came into his own, I think KD won his MVP in like 2013. So it was either 2012 or 2013 where KD won his MVP. So, you know, from that point, you know, all the way up until, you know, Kobe's last MVP or Kobe's MVP season.
2010, who won the champ? Ain't that when?
Lakers won 2010, but LeBron won the MVP 2009 and 2010. So when you're talking about number, just individual play, I'd say LeBron had like 2-3 years.
So when I mentioned that, because it seemed like whoever you compare Mike to, he made it a point to bust they ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, to prove there's no comparison.
Like, I'm going to destroy you. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. I was shook because a lot of people, like, and I'm glad this is never before seen footage, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
When people used to have a Jordan talk, especially OGs, they would always bring up Clyde Drexler.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And to see out of Jordan, like, Jordan talked about the man like he was just another nigga on the court. Yeah,
Jordan was in his bag for sure.
About that nigga bad.
Nah, he said, he was like bad. He was comp. He just wasn't fucking with me. Like,
Jordan was in his bag for sure.
That's terrible.
But at the same time,
he was good. He just wasn't on my level.
Jordan would create these situations to motivate himself. Like he would create these situations.
Clyde Drexler ain't say shit. It's the media that said Clyde Drexler was,
I'm going to punch you, I'm like, punch you the in the mouth for
league, you know?
They going to stop.
Who was the one man, the man's on the Suns that Jerry Cross felt was?
Dan Marlin.
Oh, my
Dan
God.
Dan Marlin?
It was Dan Marlin.
Thunder Dan. Thunder Dan.
That's the nigga they was playing. They played against Jerry Cross every time.
What season was that?
When they played Dan Marley and them, that was 93.
I wonder if that was a mind game that Jerry Cross was playing with Jordan. Like, I know.
If I do this, it's going to make him
turn
up.
It's going to make him tick, yeah.
Yeah, like, because they were saying Jerry Cross was trying to get dude, right?
Dan Marley, I'm not sure.
He was trying to get him. I believe he was trying to get him. Or was trying to say he's somewhere near Jordan.
Yeah.
No, you're saying he was the best defensive two in the league. One of the best.
I wonder if he said that on purpose because, one, he knew it would tick off Jordan, and two, he knew Jordan was on his way out the first time.
You think he knew Jordan was on his way out? I don't think anybody could predict it the first time Jordan left.
No, I think it was kind of clear. Like, watching this, it was clear. I don't think it was clear for us, like, for as those fans,
yeah.
But I think if you was inside of the league, you kind of knew. Like, Magic Johnson was already kind of predicting it. Like, they was predicting it. Like, y'all, you steady poking at the bear. Like, he going to be tired.
I think 97, 98 Jordan was more of a we don't know. But I think the 93 Jordan was so fucking exhausted.
That's easy to say in hindsight because in 93, Jordan would have been 29.
Something like that. Yeah.
What nigga retired at 29?
Well, he three-peat. He had the shit about the gambling. His father.
It just was so much going on.
Yeah, it was a lot going on. But like, are you really saying somebody that's 29? You're basically still in your prime at 29. You're just now coming down off your peak at 29.
But he had accomplished everything though at that point.
At 29?
He was the GOAT at 29.
He accomplished. He did a three-peat.
He was the GOAT at 29.
MVPs, I wouldn't put him at the money. At 29. You know what I'm saying?
You wouldn't put him at the GOAT? No one else had three-peated. He was the GOAT at 29, bro.
I would have had Kareem wear Magic over him at 29. With just the one three-peat?
He did something that none of them ever did.
He had the three-peat, and then the media was on him so much. So I think that's why they kind of knew Jordan was going to back away for a minute. I think they knew Jordan needed a break from the media. Because since his rookie year, the media was in his face.
But regardless about how we felt about him, you know, whether or not he was the GOAT at, you know, as fans, in his mind, what else can I do with this game? I done won three in a row. I got everything. You know what I'm saying? Went to the Olympics last year. My star is bigger than it's ever been. I got hella money. I just want to play golf.
Yeah.
I can't. You can't name somebody else that's walked away at the top of their craft at 29 years old.
But you can't name somebody else
that's unprecedented.
Who's accomplished as much at 29 either, though.
Kareem didn't. You don't think Kareem had a better career at 29?
My NBA knowledge don't go back as far as Kareem.
What did Kareem have
at 29? Three in a row.
Nobody
other than three-peat. Bill Russell did.
Bill Russell, yeah. I mean,
you can definitely put Bill Russell before him at 29.
Different time.
Yeah, niggas don't completely even speak on Bill time. Russell like that, and he got all them rings. Niggas still be like,
because it's different. We ain't not gonna sit up here and acknowledge, you know, Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain's, you know, accomplishments as if they was going against premium talent, though. You know what I'm saying? That's what we can't do.
Kareem did.
What'd you say? Kareem did. You can say Kareem. I'm talking about Russell and Chamberlain, though. So that's why when people say, oh, Russell got 11 rings, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's respected, but, you know, all right, you going against Wilt Chamberlain, basically, and that's it.
So okay, so So answer me this then. Yeah. This is the context we're going with. Uh-huh. If Kobe retired at 29, having only won the three-peat with Shaq, would you still say Kobe's the best thing since Jordan? Or would you be like,
We say Kobe's the best thing since Jordan because Kobe's game emulates Jordan's. I don't think we say that based off his accomplishments because people like me who look at those first chips say those are Shaq
Kobe,
chips.
I mean, Jordan smacked everybody. Like, he didn't have any competition, really. Like, he smashed everybody. He had nothing else to accomplish, honestly.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I get that. I'm saying if Kobe retired at 29 having a three-peat under his belt like Jordan did, Would we say Kobe's the best ever?
Probably not.
We don't give Kobe them three though. We give more to Shaq.
Like, acknowledgement to Shaq. Yeah,
Jordan got a three-peat, three MVPs. Like, that's two different things. Did Kobe have three MVPs?
That being the case, why don't we put Shaq higher on this argument then? Since we're saying Jordan was the GOAT at 29 because he had a three-peat under his belt, you're saying Kareem didn't do that. Why don't we put Shaq above Kareem when we had the same argument then? Why don't we have that same energy across the board?
I think it's clear that Shaq was one of the best centers.
Never had that debate. I don't, with Shaq and Kareem and all of that, you know what I'm saying? I think it's hard when you play Shaq up there, you know, when you go with the big men. To me, Shaq is the most dominant big man I've ever seen, okay? But we have to also acknowledge what we see Olajuwon do to Shaq when he was young. You see what I'm saying? And Olajuwon, during the time that Jordan's in the league, you can argue was the second best player in the league. When Jordan did lead the league, Olajuwon got his too. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
Including going right through Shaq on a sweep.
The Rockets swept the Magic.
Yeah.
Hakeem Olajuwon didn't sweep Shaq.
But Hakeem Olajuwon, if you look at Hakeem Olajuwon's best career highlights, a lot of them will come against what he did to Shaq.
Who else did he play against?
David Robinson, Patrick Ewing. You're talking about the 90s being a year of the center.
Okay.
Regardless of the fact, we know that the majority of these players knew when they go against Jordan, it's very likely that they're going to take an L. And yeah. I've never heard another player say, look, well, if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose to Shaq.
Nobody.
If I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose to Kobe.
Yep.
If I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose to
LeBron. You don't hear
it. You don't hear that.
Yeah.
You heard about Jordan. And then when he goes,
he's the only one.
And when it comes to Jordan, every player be like, Jordan is who you don't talk shit to. Like,
yeah.
He turned that switch on and embarrassed you every time. And we've heard that from numerous players, from the Kevin Garnett.
Okay. I was going to ask you, have you heard the motherfucking Kevin Garnett story with Jordan? Yeah, that motherfucker was crazy.
You get everybody who said that, like, don't talk shit to Jordan. And now we hear Magic say, like, Charles, we fucked up. Like, we shouldn't have said that to Jordan.
Yeah.
So he's a different caliber of player.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So all of that makes him the GOAT.
Yeah.
At 29.
At 29.
I'm not giving it to him.
That was before 29.
That was 28. That was 92. He retired 93 the first time.
That's what I'm saying. So if Magic them saying that then – and Magic is still a prime player at the time, right?
No. That's Magic.
He wasn't?
He was on his way out the league.
And don't forget, he also, I don't know if Ant mentioned, he also played, the Dream Team was during that time too.
92.
So there's a lot of fucking basketball that he played.
I get all of that. All I'm saying
I don't think we look back today and say he's the GOAT. At 29, but I think if he retired at 29 in 94, motherfuckers would probably be saying the greatest of all time retired.
I don't think so. At the time,
yeah.
I don't think in 2020 we saying
no, because I think in 2020, LeBron's 8 straight finals appearances would have trumped Jordan's 3 chips,
and Shaq's 4, and Kobe's 5. Like, a lot of people would have
Duncan's
surpassed
5, yeah.
Would have surpassed Jordan in that conversation if Jordan retired at 29.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Robert Horry 7.
Definitely not Robert Horry. That shit made me get off Facebook fast.
Don't forget John Sally shit, man.
I get off Facebook fast when niggas start bringing Robert Horry.
There's a point, right? It seemed like Mike violated Jerry Krause whenever he could.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
They hated dude. On the flip side, it seemed like every time the Bulls won, Jerry Krause would make it a point to get in the media and be like, this is an organizational thing.
Yeah, I heard his they finally put his speech out, his quote out there in totality. And I didn't feel as bad about it as it sounded
what's
in print.
Quote, what's the quote in totality?
Basically saying, like, we have a great organization from front to back.
Yeah.
From the motherfuckers that's been here 23 years or something like that to the higher ups. Like,
yeah.
I feel like we have the greatest organization in the world.
Other than probably Jerry Jones, name me another executive that makes it a point to go into the media every chance they get and bring up the organization, not the players. Name me another one that you can think of.
I mean, he said the players, but it was like vaguely, but he was saying that, nigga, we have the greatest organization in the world. I think when you're up there, like the owner and all of them,
That nigga was saying, not really that nigga was just saying, don't forget me.
Yeah, why do you make it a point to make it about you?
Put my name in there when you speak of Jordan and Pippen. I say my name.
Definitely was. It's just that he wasn't lying, though, either.
I didn't say he was lying.
Yeah.
But why you're not on the – there's a reason. There are people who get shit done behind the scenes.
Only thing
– behind the scenes
the
person.
Only thing and I agree with that. But I think not only – mans keep violating them. It's clear tension.
Why, though? Why do you even –
But in my opinion, you keep – there's tension, in my opinion. You keep violating me, but I'm the only thing that Jerry Cross did not do when it comes to this organization is draft Jordan.
Yeah,
that's the only thing.
Okay.
Other than that, as a GM, he put this squad together.
I get that.
You keep disrespecting me.
I get that. Listen though, the Patriots are probably one of the best organizations in sports ever. Yeah. Right, as far as the last 20 year run, I can't tell you. Who the GM for the New England Patriots is?
You're a goddamn liar, because he likes head.
I don't know who that is.
No,
I don't.
You can tell who the GM is because he's the coach also.
Oh, Belichick is the GM?
Yes.
How long has he been the GM?
I don't know how long he's been the GM.
I don't think he's been the GM the whole time.
But the owner is out there too, though.
But the owner just let Belichick do what he do. But that's why they call Belichick the best mind in football.
Probably the second best GM, or even the first, R.C. Buford for the Spurs.
For the Spurs.
Yeah. Can't tell you what R.C. Buford looks like. Because that's not your position is not to be in the fucking media all the time.
Facts.
This is true.
So why the fuck do we keep having to talk about Jerry Krause?
I think but I think this is a different you can't compare it to any other team because at the height for what? From 91 to 98, this is arguably the greatest and the most important. The biggest team out there in sports, period. Facts. So now not only are you talking about wins and losses and championships, you're talking about legacies. This isn't the Spurs. This isn't the Patriots. This is like the motherfucking Beatles. The whole world knows who this team is. So all of them. And that's why I can't keep putting it on Cross.
Yeah, but then the Spurs ended up being one of the best organizations.
No,
ever.
But they were not the Bulls, though.
I agree.
The Bulls is like the motherfucking the sports version of the Beatles. They were the biggest organization in the fucking world. And so now we're talking about legacies. And I can't just keep putting Jerry Cross on a cross. No pun intended.
Nah.
But I can't just keep putting him out there like he wasn't the only one thinking about his legacy.
Yeah.
This team, now I'm saying, this team has a 10-part documentary on them in 2020. Without the spotlight, or without at least saying, look, I'm of something importance, you get left in the fucking dark. Don't nobody know who the fuck you is on a team that's that fucking big.
But yeah, but there's also a difference
between
being famous and infamous. Which one are you? Which one did you think you're going to be at the end of the day?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us can tell a man how to go about building their legacy or leaving their legacy. But if one day all four of us are...
How do you
nigga on Beatle status?
There's only one executive that I can think of that really don't be out there in the media but gets all the credit for his genius over the years, and that's Jerry West.
Mm. As it should be.
Yeah.
I don't need credit for my work.
His work
did my work speaks for itself. Yeah. I don't need to be in the media for what?
I just when it comes I get it if it was just a regular old team, if it was a great team like the Houston the Rockets Suns, but we're talking about the motherfucking Bulls of the 90s.
But if you did your job, you're going to be mentioned anyway. As long as you're doing your job, you're going to be mentioned.
That's not always the case though.
How not?
Some people get left out when it comes to legacy.
Who, like who? The fact that you know R.C. Buford's name speaks of that.
I know exactly who R.C. Buford is.
Exactly.
Never seen a picture
because
of
his work. Yeah.
He doesn't need the spotlight.
Yeah. I cannot compare the Spurs to the.
No, we just saying that your work will speak for you, and your name will get known for your work. That's R.C. Buford's case.
Jerry West is a great fucking example. When the Lakers were winning, you didn't hear you knew who Jerry West was because you know who he is as a player. You didn't see him. You didn't see Jerry West when he put together the dynasty with the Warriors. You didn't see Jerry West.
Yeah. Like,
you didn't have to see him. Matter of fact, he wasn't even the GM. Bob Myers is the GM of the Warriors, but Jerry West was behind a lot of those deals.
Yeah.
We didn't have to see you. We don't have to see you because your work speaks for itself.
Yeah.
When Jerry West became a special consultant for the Clippers, it was like, okay, the Clippers are about to do something special because he has a track record of doing something special everywhere he's been.
That is a motherfucking fact.
He's turned every organization he's been there with into contenders.
That is a fact.
And when he got there, what happened? We got Kawhi, we got Paul George. We're contenders now.
You didn't have to get Kawhi or Paul George to know that the Clippers were going to be great soon, very soon.
We don't got
to
stick no microphone in
your face. Simply because Jerry West was there.
Yeah. I mean, I understand and I get it, but I still can't. When you're talking about the 90s Bulls,
mm-hmm.
it's different.
I think you just put your work in. Like, all he did by staying in the media is turn himself into the supervillain. He's Thanos.
I think there's two sides to that coin, though. Like, a lot of people, two things can be true. Like, he clearly is the villain. Obviously, I feel like it's a little bit unfair. I don't think he was a people person. But I think there was a lot to do with the breakup of this team and not just him. But also, I do feel like because his name is now out there, people are noticing what he actually did with that team and what he did with that team after they left. Now, they weren't as...
What did he do after they left?
Oh, you drafted... He drafted with Ron Artest, Elton Brand.
Yeah, they were terrible.
That's your argument?
Nigga. No, but that ain't it. I'll tell you right now.
He drafted niggas He drafted niggas that was sought after. Like, he drafted good niggas.
He also drafted Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry in the same draft.
Tyson Chandler was that nigga in high school, though.
And Tyson Chandler had a good career later on.
You can't.
Not with the Bulls.
You can see.
Not with the Bulls.
Good, but they see, this is what I always.
Later, like Eddie Curry did decent after.
When he got to the Knicks, he did decent. I always say it like this, though. When you're talking NBA players, you are talking the best players in the world, you know, in basketball. So, you know, when you're talking about a player being good or being a scrub, to me, it speaks of the situation they're in and not of their actual individual talent.
I'm just saying, as the players, he had his hand on these players coming into the league.
Okay, and he's able to recognize talent.
He was the man that put together a team that won six championships
on the fly. Can't take
that
away.
He got nothing after that. After that, he put together a bunch of duds.
Facts.
Well, I mean, yeah.
So you still without these players, you're still not who the fuck you saying you are. So just shut the fuck up and let the players do their work.
This is the player. This is the person saying, you know, Tony Kukoc is the future of the Bulls, and he clearly wasn't the future of the Bulls.
That's what Jay-Z was talking about. Say you made hole. Okay, so make another hole.
Facts.
Yeah, I ain't going to give him that. So the Dream Team, Isaiah being ice from the Dream Team.
Yeah.
After watching this, do y'all feel like Jordan was the scapegoat or did he have something to do with it?
After watching it, I felt like Jordan was the scapegoat, but after doing homework, I just say Isaiah's play was the reason why he wasn't on the Dream Team person.
Talk to me. What do you mean?
Isaiah had not made an All-NBA team since the 86-87 year.
Mm.
That's 5 years before the Dream Team. So when you look at the players that's put on the Dream Team over Isaiah, to me it's only one name that could come off, and I'm going to get to that later.
Let me ask you a question then.
Yeah.
Is a past prime Larry Bird, should he been on that team?
No.
I don't know.
Larry was past his prime.
Yeah, but Larry was a bigger star than Isaiah was also.
You're talking about politics now.
Yeah, this is still a business.
Yeah.
It's still a business.
And this is the first time we've had NBA players represent
Larry, if we're talking about, mm-hmm. and see, you know what I mean? I was having a discussion on Twitter today, man. Shout out to the brothers.
Yeah.
You know, they were saying, like, you know, Isaiah just wasn't liked. And I understand that. You know, he did make a few statements. The shit, I don't know if it was before or after with the Magic Johnson and the HIV shit. I know he said, I think he said something about that. He said about Larry Bird. If Larry Bird was black, no one would care.
His game still spoke. If he was black, he still would have balled.
I think that, and this is what I have a problem with. Like, you can't come to me and talk to me about how competitive you are and then have a strong dislike for the player that comes at you just as competitive.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Like, I think Isaiah went at all them niggas.
Yeah.
He did.
He went at all of them. Fuck you niggas. I'm going at all of y'all.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they didn't like that. So is it okay? So when I'm thinking about Jordan, so is it okay? Is it okay if I dominate you and then we're shaking hands and we're playing golf afterwards? Like, I'm that nigga, like, when we get on that court, nigga, fuck you. Until it's over with.
As you should be.
And I think that's the kind of player that Isaiah was. I mean, it comes off as
dislikable. The only thing we're missing is context of why they don't like Isaiah.
But if we're talking just on personality,
yeah,
just on personality, on team morale and all that shit, if we're talking about play and if we're talking about accomplishments, mm-hmm, Isaiah should have been on that team.
No.
Just said he hadn't made an all NBA.
That was first or second.
You talking about you're taking
for 5 years before that,
bro? You taking John Stockton over?
Hell fucking yeah!
I saw somebody post
made the all NBA team 5 years up until then.
I saw somebody post some stats of them two, the 3 years prior to going to the Dream.
Isaiah Thomas got him by 2 points. That's it.
2 points, but like five less assists. I think he had one more steal per game.
John Stockton had been on five all defensive teams also up to that point.
Larry Bird passed his prom.
Larry Bird shouldn't have been on it.
That's that. Larry Bird
and Chris Mullin probably
got on it the same way Magic got on it because of their star of the 80s.
And Christian Laettner. None of them niggas should have been on the squad, bro.
Christian Laettner got on because they were picking a college player, and Christian Laettner was the biggest name in college. Although he was nowhere near the best player, he was the biggest name in college because Duke had won two chips.
Isaiah should have been on that team, man.
I don't think so.
Who is Isaiah replacing? The Lathan dude? That's it? Like, is he replacing? Who is he replacing?
I'm not replacing nobody with Isaiah.
Over, I would take him over Bird.
Bird, not, that ain't Bird even the same forward, position. Though. So what are we talking about?
Small forward.
They could have took another guard. Nigga, that team was fucking.
So you taking out.
That team was a motherfucking. Nigga, that team. Nigga, you talking about the dream team, dog. It don't matter who was on that fucking team.
That's what I'm saying.
They was beating the shit out of anybody. We were still winning. Isaiah deserved to be on that squad, man.
He just deserved to be a part of. We still, with or without Isaiah.
And the way they did that shit was fucking trash.
We blew teams out over 30 points. Like,
the way they did that shit was fucking trash. And then dude, Rod Thorne calls Jordan like, I want you on the dream team. Jordan says, oh, well, who's going to be on there? That's already some bitch nigga shit right there. Yeah. I already kind of got a clear distinction of Michael Jordan's character, nigga. In all, six parts?
Yeah.
We clearly know how this nigga gets down.
Fuck with Jordan.
Is chemistry an issue? Are you taking players based strictly on their accomplishments? Or are you going to say, we're going to put a nigga on here. Skill-wise, career-wise, he deserves to be here. But we know he has a personal issue with 1, 2, 3, and 4. The three faces of Team USA basketball, he has an issue with all of them. Plus the other nigga.
That part I understand. But this was clearly about accomplishments. What have you done to be on this team?
That is where I have the problem. I feel like the only reason why people say Isaiah should have been on a team is because Isaiah say he should have been on a team and that he won the championship in 89 and 90. But when you talk about as an individual player, if you look at it, did Isaiah deserve to be on that team? No. Not in 92. Had they done this in 88, for sure. In 92, no.
I don't know the stats, so I'm not going to get into that argument, but pure accomplishments, man. That man should have been on that team.
He won two chips.
But also, I just.
So Are you gonna make a team based strictly off of accomplishments and not who they actually are as a player today? Because we have Magic Johnson
name
and Larry
the
Bird
accomplishments
for
that.
First. We already have two legacy players on here.
Yeah.
Who are probably past their primes, but we've put them on there because of their legacy. So you gonna make the whole team that way?
But name the accomplishments. Are you putting them on because he won two chips?
Two chips, All-Stars.
He has one more All-Star than Stockton.
So what, nigga? That's one more, nigga. What
John
you mean?
Stockton has been on 11 like all saying, NBA teams. Isaiah Thomas has been on 5. John Stockton has been on 5 all defensive teams. Isaiah Thomas has been on none.
Isaiah should have been on that squad.
The '92 Olympic team, John Stockton averaged 14 assists a game. Isaiah hadn't done that a single season. John Stockton did that over 5 seasons previous to that. He hasn't done that a single season of his career.
Are you going to make the whole team based on legacy? What you've done prior to this? Somebody's going to be?
If that's the case, then a lot of them niggas shouldn't have been on the squad.
Who else besides Magic and Bird?
Magic was washed.
Magic was washed. Bird was washed. I'm giving you this. Who else?
Yeah, we got you. Yeah. Who else?
Who else was washed in that moment?
I'm probably gonna deal without Mullins.
You crazy?
Oh, that's where you lost your
Mullins. Mind. A shooter.
He's a shooter.
I'm not knocking you for taking Mullins off. No. I'm not knocking you for. But he's a shooter.
He's a shooter.
I'm not knocking you for at the same time.
He's a shooter that averaged 25 a game.
Was Magic and Bird not getting buckets?
At that point, they were way past their prime. Yeah,
but was they not getting? I think it's business. Like I'm looking at business wise. They felt like these two players has been.
If that's the case, if that's the case, now when it comes to the USA teams, why they not putting Dirk and Tim Duncan on them?
What happened? Dirk
because they
Germany.
Played on them. Not only that. Remember, this is the first time that they were allowed to play. So that you know, they going back for legacy when it comes to that. Going forward, everybody who was worth something actually played on the USA team. So nobody missed that.
I don't know if they weren't allowed to play or if they just was going out. They were going after the lower level basketball players.
Yeah,
I don't know which one it was. That was kind of. I got to look more into
it. It was amateur players. It was all amateur players.
Yeah.
So that was actually Jordan's second Olympics.
But I just, you know, just not getting a peep of Jordan's personality. That's a messy nigga. And I believe that Dream Team was messy as fuck. I think that Dream Team was messy as, not all of them, but the main players.
Probably.
Them niggas was some messy ass niggas. And then it goes to show how they did the nigga cool coach. Like, nigga, that nigga sleep next to suicide bombers. Nigga, you pushing him in the air ain't going to stop nothing.
Nah, that's your man fault. That's your man Kraus fault. Kraus did that to that
but
man.
But it's just that goes into the privilege of what we, you know, what we think is he ain't going to make it. Like, the only reason he ain't come over here and before was because his family was...
They don't know that.
His family was in a war zone and shit.
That don't have nothing to do with me.
The documentary. We ain't never met this man at this point. We just know this about it.
That don't got nothing to do with me.
My dad is a suicide bomber, you bitch ass nigga.
I don't know about that.
Tell that nigga to come blow Chicago Stadium up then, because nigga, I ain't getting my motherfucking check. While I'm not getting my check, the nigga over here sucking your dick. So I got to show him that he fucking up.
No, they blew him out the first game, but the second game he came with it.
No, they stay won by one less point the second game. They still blew their ass out.
I'm talking about, they whooped his ass the first game.
Facts.
The second game he came with it. Like, nigga, what the fuck, nigga?
He might
be a bomb in my dinner today, bitch ass. Niggas, I ain't worried about you, niggas. What?
He's wearing a Jordan sweatsuit, and Jordan didn't give a fuck about none of that.
I don't give a fuck about none of that.
I just think a lot of them niggas was messy as fuck, and I don't know if we'll ever get into what really happened with that situation. I feel like Isaiah should have been on that team, and I feel like there was a lot of messy shit, messy underlying shit, was the reason why he wasn't on.
But I'm going to ask you one more time.
Probably, but if all of us don't like him, don't bring his bitch ass here.
Why do you feel like Isaiah should be on the team?
Don't talk to me about competition then. Because these bitch ass niggas, and this is the shit I don't like. This is the shit I don't like, and we was arguing about this shit last week. Now they got the bitch ass Knicks on there, and the nigga was talking, oh, nigga, it ain't no foul if nigga ain't bleeding. It ain't no foul if they ain't bleeding. Oh, this was so tough. This was a tough series. People were getting knocked all over the place. The fouls were hard. Like, nigga, what do you? Y'all the bad boy Knicks? Why y'all not? What happened to this? The Knicks were the only ones playing this kind of defense, though.
They shook their hands after they lost.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Nigga,
They didn't have poor sportsmanship at the end.
But Bird said himself.
There are numerous. They got cool after the fact. But there are numerous videos that says Bird says when we lost to Lake, we didn't shake their hands. We hated them.
I don't think
there was no shaking hands. We hated them. Him and Bird didn't get cool till later on.
I think it's a personal thing.
So why is it only
thing.
Just this one? Come on,
I
man.
I think it's a personal it's a Isaiah Thomas. Shit, man. Remember, the Detroit Pistons coach was the coach of the Dream Team.
No, because that's some bitch ass shit. Because the very it's been two episodes since the Bad Boy episode.
Yeah.
It's been two episodes of the Bad Boy episode. And you basically gave us another version of the Bad Boy Pistons in the Knicks. But we're supposed to respect that. What's the difference?
The difference is they was the Bad Boy Pistons and they the Knicks. That's just
trash,
the difference,
bro. The media needs fucking narratives, dude. That shit is trash.
We act like we don't know.
The media and these messy ass players basically created this narrative and took away from this man's legacy. If y'all were Isaiah, y'all would be hot too.
Like I said,
but I saw a piece of media afterwards. It was from the producer of the series, from the producer of the Last Dance series.
Okay.
And he was basically saying that what he was told was that if they were going to take a Piston, it would have been Joe Dumars, not Isaiah Thomas.
And it would have been just.
And the reason were because they felt like they had 2-point guards, so we need a guard for defense, which was Dumars. But they were saying, he said that, you know, Isaiah Thomas is the star of the team. So with Chuck Daly being the coach, I can't pull Dumars and not Isaiah Thomas, and then had to go back and face this team. So that was the reason. That was something else. Mm. The producer of the series said this.
That kind of hurt. Mm. That kind of hurt my argument.
But like I said, I feel like Isaiah. I feel like this is only talked about because Isaiah said he should have been on the team. That's it.
No, I think there are a lot more people that feel like Isaiah should have been on that team. And I also feel like a lot of people still don't know what really happened. And I think that's drawing this out a little more.
I agree. And Jordan clearly said that Isaiah is the top 2-point guard of all time.
At the time.
He's not taking away his credit as a player. He's just saying, nigga, we didn't like him.
And we don't want to play with you, nigga. We don't want to travel across the seas and play with you, nigga.
I think he was top 5 anyways, but I think I don't know.
Where
I
got to
look
at?
Back on it.
Where you got him at?
Yeah, you want to move on because you ain't got him nowhere close.
Because you still got Oscar. You got Oscar. You got Magic. Oscar, Magic, Isaiah. I gotta put Steph in there.
Steph is before Isaiah to me.
Yeah, no, this is I'm not even I'm just
you're not you're not numbering it. You're just thinking, oh, got it.
But Steph is definitely in there. And then 5. Ooh. Oh no. Don't put me on the spot.
Young, come on, man. Just pick a number. 1 through 5. Or 1 through whatever. Where you got him at?
Isaiah?
Yeah.
If he's anywhere, he's like 5.
Okay, I respect it.
You taking Oscar over Russell Westbrook?
Nigga, get the fuck out of here, nigga. What the fuck?
Oh, shit.
So
Westbrook did his thing. Oh.
Two seasons in a row. What are we talking about?
This is the part I wanted to get into because this is, I don't think a lot of people in just sports in regards. I haven't heard this conversation a lot. I heard the quote, but I haven't heard the conversation. The Republicans wear my shoes too. Basketball aside, is MJ looked at in a high regard in the black community?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah. I would like them to stop with the he build prison shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Google been out for a while now, y'all. Like, it's real simple.
I fuck with Jordan. I feel like everybody fuck with Jordan. I don't know people
basketball
who don't.
Aside.
I think we celebrate Jordan's accomplishments, but I don't think we fuck with Jordan like that.
So that's why we've been buying his shoes for the last 30 years?
You buy his shoes because of basketball.
I think his shoes are bigger than the person.
Yeah.
They've become bigger than the person.
The brand is bigger than the person.
Okay. I
do.
I only think of Jordan for basketball. It's I don't almost, care for nothing else.
Like, yeah. It's almost like greatness. There's a lot of luck when it comes to greatness.
Yeah.
I feel like. And even with the shoes, mm-hmm. which I know, you know, everybody was kind of shocked that Jordan would want to go with Converse when it was so many of them already.
Yeah.
Right.
No, he said he wanted to go with Adidas.
No, he was going to go to – Converse was the first.
They was trying to get him there, but they said if you had to choose where you had went, he said, I wanted to go to
Adidas. He liked Adidas, but he went to Converse. I think Converse was the first conversation.
Yeah, but that wasn't his plan. They were
the Nike at their time.
That wasn't his plan, though.
But also, I don't think many people know or acknowledge that Nike went to Magic first and Magic turned it down first. But I'm kind of glad he didn't choose Converse. Them Converse was trash.
The weapons,
He didn't like the Converse.
No, I'm just saying. I'm glad. I'm not trying to argue. I'm glad
because he didn't like Converse. He
Adidas,
said
I'm like,
it was a lot of ugly Jordans that motherfucker rocked.
Adidas, okay, but you know Nike, he took a chance on it and it just
the best deal.
Like I said, luck, and I think. Just looking into it, like the Spike Lee commercials, mm-hmm. Mars Blackman, and I think Nike are responsible for how culturally important the Jordan shoe is to the black community.
Why do you
I don't
feel
know
like they're
if,
responsible for that
because you Spike back then was like.
But I don't think Spike got involved until the five.
No, he had on the ones.
He had on the ones.
She gotta have it. And then they showed him.
She got to have the ones.
Yeah,
when did she got to have it came out.
The first commercial Spike got on the ones. That's why when
the
they
ones,
came back,
yeah.
they made the Spike. The
That's
Spike
early, early '90s. That's like '91.
I think he had on the threes.
She
got to
have it.
And what's her name?
She got to have it. It's like '91.
That's what I'm saying. We talking about '84.
She got to have it. Ain't '91.
It's in the '80s.
That's in the '80s.
Is that
Do the Right Thing is in the '80s, and
oh,
that's
no,
like
no,
his
no,
third,
yeah,
fourth
yeah.
film.
That's the black and white joint. She's got to have it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm tripping.
The Mars Blackman's on the fives.
No, he had on the ones in the commercial.
Mars Blackman is an actual character.
In that movie, and he had on the ones.
You're talking about the shoe. We're talking about the actual character.
I'm saying when Spike Lee became involved.
No, we're talking about the 80s.
Okay.
That's what that's at least what the documentary said.
I'm saying when
89.
When She's Gotta Have It came out?
89 when he got involved with Mars Blackman.
The fives. Nigga, I know what I'm talking about. What are we talking about?
No, but...
Spike Lee didn't become involved in the...
He didn't become involved. We're saying that Morris Blackman in the movie had on the ones in the
movie.
The movie didn't come out in 89.
That's not the argument.
The movie came out before then. Look up when She Had to Have It came out.
That's not the argument I'm making. The argument I'm making is when the Jordan shoe first dropped, it was the gold mine, right? I'm saying when Spike Lee...
86.
I'm saying when Spike Lee got involved... That's when it came culturally relevant when it came to the black community.
I don't think so.
I think out the gate.
Nah.
Out the gate.
You don't sell 126 million worth of Jordans without the black community being involved.
I hate when y'all take the little things I say and like, I'm saying.
You saying it's culturally relevant to black people at that time.
When I say culturally relevant, when I say Spike Lee, Mars Blackman is a character that wear all Jordans. Spike Lee was super big in the late 80s, early 90s, super fucking big, probably the biggest filmmaker. When I say culturally relevant, I mean like you gotta have the J's.
I feel like
they become they are of importance in the black community in the way we move. It went from being just a great shoe to must haves. When it comes to us.
I don't know if you can say that. Because if you're saying they sold 126 million pairs in a year, in the first year.
How many basketball fans
sound like they're culturally relevant to me, bro.
I don't think Magic Johnson and Larry Bird combined are moving 126 million pairs in a single year.
Yeah. I agree.
When the projection is, by the time we get to year
let me ask you this. When the ones first dropped in, 84?
Yeah, 84.
Okay, when the ones first dropped. Pre-Spike Lee, you believe these are must-haves in the black community?
Yes.
Okay.
Spike Lee said that he felt like his character must have them on in a movie that was dropped in 86.
Which means he probably filmed in 85. Filmed in
85.
Must haves.
I mean, that's what Spike Lee said. I'm not.
Yeah.
I think it had something to do with the price point, because we're talking about something that dropped in the mid 80s. So we're talking about the crack era. So this is the first $100 shoe. Yeah. This is the first $100 sneaker. You're coupling with somebody who's doing what Jordan was doing on the court. I think crack dealers was like, nigga, I gotta have these.
Yeah.
Me, being that I was all of 2 fucking years old myself at the time, a year old at the time, I can't say with intimate knowledge, but I'm like, based on what I know about the world at the time, this seems like the crack dealer shoe. Like, oh nigga, these are $100. Like, this is the status symbol. As much as a big, you know, a big rope chain and all this other shit, we gotta have. I gotta have a $100 shoe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before this, we was big on Adidas. Now we gotta switch to these Jordans.
That's my personal belief. Not having been there, I'm taking an educated guess at this point.
Before then, they was big on Bally's. I ain't never seen a pair of them motherfuckers.
What? I still don't know what the... When Pac say from Chuck the Bally's, I still don't know what the fuck he talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck Bally's is. I ain't never seen them motherfuckers.
I ain't never... But like, even like Balenciagas now, they go for $1,000. Even though they ugly as fuck to a lot of people their status symbol, have it. Because they cost a G-ball.
Yep. Yeah. So that's what makes me feel like if Jordan even went to Converse, we'd be rocking around Converse... Other than Chuck's, all day around this motherfucker, because there's a lot of ugly Jordans.
I don't think so.
Because with Converse, everybody had the same shoe, different colors, basically.
Yeah.
They wasn't given like a signature shoe. And with Nike being so new and Jordan coming in, I think that's what made it so big. Like, this is a newer shoe, and we got Jordan in here who's a brand new player, and he's building a brand. Like, this is the first real signature shoe we've seen. We haven't seen all the signature shoe.
Fact.
Dr. J's, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, all their shoes was basically just, it was the same shoe in different colors. So fact. I think that's what changed.
It was like
Nike.
Six different, I think on the commercial I saw like six different like colorways of the same exact shoe. Plus if I'm a company, if I have Magic Johnson, if I have Larry Bird, if I have Isaiah Thomas, if I have Dr. J already on our roster, what makes you so special that we're just gonna give you a shoe? Or we're going to do something completely different? We already have established stars on our roster.
Yeah.
Which is why, to me, Nike was absolutely the best move. It's an upstart. No different than I liken it to when Vince Carter won the dunk contest, but he had on the and-ones. I think that pushed and-ones profile through the roof.
Facts.
Yeah.
The Thai cheese. And Steph Curry becoming the fucking two-time Grand MVP. Grand Hill with Felix, Steph Curry with Under Armour.
Under Armour, yeah.
So like I think by Jordan being a star but going with an off, I think it would have been completely different if he would have signed with Converse or Adidas either.
To me, it seemed like his agent was saying that we need a signature shoe no matter who we signed with.
I think Adidas probably would have been the same.
You think so?
I think Adidas
in basketball, I don't even think of Adidas to the first Kobe's.
Me either.
Adidas has never been. Basketball was never their first focus.
Yeah,
Adidas was always a soccer company.
Yeah, and they became obviously famous with
I think they dropped them superstars right around the time that Jordan was probably in college. The superstars, the high top Adidas. That's why he said Adidas was his favorite shoe to wear to play basketball in. I think they had dropped the superstars around that time, which was a higher top shoe, and they're more comfortable.
Okay,
like this documentary clearly shows that Jordan's wasn't comfortable.
Cause that tripped me out how he said his feet was bleeding and shit playing in Jordan 1s.
Yeah, it tripped me
how the
out.
Fuck you played a whole fucking.
Nigga, what's that? So you put on the 1s.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, you played a whole season in these motherfuckers in 85, 86. I mean.
Oh, your body respond differently when you're 20. Yeah. Your body can do a completely different amount of shit when you're 20 than when you're 36. Shit, yeah. Hell
and
no.
And motherfuckers always say, oh, the same shoes you buying in the store ain't the ones they wearing.
Hell no, shit, it's not.
You know, I don't know. I mean, shit.
At that time, I think it was. I think he was.
Yeah, I'm saying
the same shit.
That seemed like the same shit to me. Yeah.
That's why a lot of people hated playing.
Yeah,
in, like,
after Spike Lee. After Spike Lee, he was able to up the price.
But they came in at $100.
But he said 70 mil by May, like a month in.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Spike for sure gave it a boost. I think they already seen that Spike was giving the shoe a boost anyway just by putting it in the movies. And they like, we got to bring him on. Because he was already making it a point to.
Just imagine that, though. Just to say we have a projection of 3 mil by the time we get to year 5. And year 1, we do 126.
Yeah.
That's why Adidas is so frowned upon, because of when Run DMC was doing what they was doing for Adidas. Adidas never brought them on.
Yeah.
Adidas don't have exciting everything in Adidas. When you think about it, it's black and white. Like I would, that's, I think, not, that's
I
not
think, but
to
I
me.
Think today, I think today, the Jordans have lost a lot of its.
Damn, even the Kobe's was black and white. Not after the first
today,
the retros, and they don't. And if you notice, they don't retro anything past the 14s.
Today they did retro the 15s.
When I've never.
Oh, that was 2017 when they retro the 15s.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay. So. Given the off-court insight into Michael Jordan, has your opinion of him changed at all?
I like him more.
Yeah, me too. Because, you know, when you listen to sportscasters talk about, you know, oh, they know a different Michael Jordan than what the public see, this, that, and third, they make it seem as if he's some type of motherfucking super villain, you know what I'm saying, operating behind basketball. But, you know, when you see this, it's just like, you know, it make you respect his competitiveness more to me.
I don't look at him any differently. Because to me, Kobe Bryant was 2.0, and Kobe Bryant had like a singular focus the same way. Like basketball was.
We
his.
Grew up with Kobe,
so growing up with Kobe, seeing Kobe having a singular focus, like I don't give a fuck about making friends. Yeah. I don't give a fuck about being in the club with no bitches. I'm about getting better at basketball every single fucking day. Yeah. So it's like to see Jordan in a similar capacity. It doesn't.
Laker hater here. I grew up with Iverson. Just speaking for the record.
This is just me. I off court Michael Jordan. I don't care for. I still don't care for.
Yeah.
To me, this is more so like, oh, you know, I'm hearing some stories I didn't really know, but his shoe and his game was what I cared about. I didn't really care about Michael Jordan.
I don't think no person? One did. So I think I think watching this give us
what I do respect him on, and I've seen a lot of people bashing him for this, was the fact that he didn't speak out politically. And I'm of that kind where I refuse to get involved politically because now you're playing a game.
Yeah.
Right? And you know they were, I guess it was South Carolina?
North Carolina.
And he said, look, man, I didn't speak on dude, but I gave him a great contribution.
Right.
Like, I think, again, politics and activism is a dance that not everyone can handle. And I'm sick of every time we get someone that we enjoy, it's like we put the burden on them to put that all on the line for our causes.
It bothers me that we look for our entertainers and our athletes to be political activists. That's not their lane. That's not who I want to.
It goes to me, it goes to the bigger point. Like the burden is always on us. We can't just enjoy anything. Like the burden is on us to do everything. We fucking show up to vote. They say we don't vote. They group us in with people of color. Like, we show up and we do what we got to do, but the burden is always on us. Donald Trump get elected, reelected again. It's, oh, because black people, they didn't vote. Those guys didn't vote. It's like, dude, when it comes to Michael Jordan, he is who he is.
Yeah.
The man don't get involved with politics. That's not his burden.
And I appreciate a nigga saying I don't know it. I'm not
because eventually we've seen this before. Then you got the niggas that turn out to be like Terry Crews. And don't get me wrong, Terry Crews, when he first started, whether you agreed with his actions after the fact is on you, right?
I don't know shit about Terry Crews.
When a nigga grabbed his nuts.
Oh, okay.
So whether you agree with his actions is on But what happened to Terry Crews is it evolved into him taking on all of these fights
And eventually to the point where up. He don't know, you don't know what the fuck you fighting for anymore.
And he shut his ass up after a while.
And then get your ass up out of here. And I'm glad, usually that's how niggas turn out. 90% of the time, that's how you turn out. You start fighting for all this shit, don't know what you fighting for, and then you become the villain. Get your ass out of here.
All the nigga in the Old Spice commercials.
Said I ain't seen Terry Crews dance on nothing in a minute.
Terry Crews out of here.
Still be on there.
I only see the one nigga, the BJ looking ass nigga.
Both them niggas be on there.
So, and then another thing. I don't give a fuck how much fucking slow singing and flower bringing y'all bring into this documentary. Y'all are not going to have me feeling sorry for Michael Jordan because he went out to gamble. And the media scrutiny he got from that.
Wait. Because 10 minutes ago, he was like, oh, the media created this narrative and, you know, it's trash. But now you're saying you don't feel bad for a nigga who got trash.
I don't think the media created that narrative. He did go out and he did gamble during.
Why is that a problem?
I mean, who was that?
Beckham.
He did it too. He got killed for it. Tony Romo went with his wife.
Yeah, a lot of motherfuckers get killed for that shit.
Got killed for it.
Yeah.
Odell and them did it. The banana boat. And lost. And it's. So, but my thing is, in 2020, right, we've seen celebrities do so much worse and get caught for it. Mm-hmm. You can't take me, even if. I don't care how far back you take me. You're not going to make me feel bad for someone who, like, the documentary had all slow music and shit, and like he went out gambling.
Yeah, is that a bad thing though?
No,
I'm not saying feel bad for him, but should he be villainized for it?
I just it was of the times. Like, I think that. What is that? What was that Gatorade? I want to be like Mike?
Yeah.
That was more damaging to his brand.
After the fact, yeah.
Than anything. Was that before or after this?
That was before.
That was more damaging to his brand because it made him they put him out there as this perfect individual.
Yeah.
I think that's why, like, seeing the gambling part, that's what made me, like, I fuck with Jordan more because he wasn't apologetic for it. He was like, I gambled.
No, the Whitney Houston interview I wasn't feeling with the black glass.
Oh yeah, that was trash. But
drugs are horrible.
I think that's what made Charles Barkley so popular because Charles Barkley was like, I don't want to be. I'm not a role model. Don't put me on that level.
Yeah, Jordan was saying the same thing just behind closed doors. I don't want to be a role model.
I think Jordan was still conscientious of his brand though. Like he still put.
Yeah. To this day, you can tell that. This documentary is clearly geared towards. I'm gonna show you a little bit of the asshole, but I'm not gonna give you everything. Like it's still geared toward praising him.
Yeah.
Because in sports, we don't like he deserves it. Like in sports, he did his part.
Yeah.
In sports, he did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, but if you, I just prior to us watching this documentary, I felt like y'all were gonna give us the whole picture. We know Jordan wasn't well liked.
We still haven't really got to the 97-98 season. Like we still not there. Like they just giving us glimpses of this shit, but we still not there.
That nigga still a bitch ass nigga be lying and shit, man. I don't like that.
What he lie about?
I mean snitching.
He
we ain't had an episode yet, bro.
He do some hoe ass shit.
That nigga's a hoe. That nigga's a hoe. But you can't say nothing to him because he's so fucking good and he got hella money.
You can't say nothing to him because you'd be unemployed.
That nigga's a hoe.
Hey, say something you want to, nigga.
So, let me ask y'all something before we get up out of here. The whole, okay, Charles Barkley when they lost, right? And man, shit, I forgot how good Charles Barkley was. If I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose to MJ, right?
Barkley said that or just Magic Johnson?
Barkley
said it too.
And
Magic Johnson.
Lost to Paxson.
Do you think the runner-ups in any other sport ever felt that way? Like, if I'm going to lose to Tom, I'm okay.
I think it's only Tom Brady that other motherfuckers say that about.
Nope.
I think it's more than just Tom Brady, though.
I don't think it wasn't Tom Brady.
I think it Peyton Manning.
Nope. I got two. I got Tiger in his prom.
And Serena.
They for sure wasn't saying that about Tiger.
Nah, oh, hell no.
They hated Tiger.
Nigger?
Everybody on the fucking nigger? Everybody played golf.
Y'all niggas wilding, bro.
The difference everybody is they say golf? That they said that immediately no. after they lost. Today, or you know, going they forward in the future when they telling their grandkids, oh, the only Tiger time I ever his, lost was to Tiger.
Tiger in his prime? You know,
they never liked that nigga. Like they didn't crazy, like losing bro. To him.
They don't I think they still a, don't like a, Tiger.
A black man that came into our league yeah. and, that came into our sport and took
whooped
over.
They ass. They had no chance in this
exactly.
prom.
So it wasn't no, oh yeah, we respect you. Fuck no.
No, I'm just saying if I'm gonna lose, I'm gonna lose to MJ. That's a nice way of putting it, but it's basically like when I play this nigga, I'm gonna lose.
I don't think no white man
like,
said that.
When I say basically when I say Tiger in his prime, when these niggas was going against Tiger in his prime, they knew they had no chance.
Yeah, but I don't think they said what you just
they're
said.
Not they're not saying if I'm gonna lose, I'm gonna lose
the
Tiger.
Yeah, I'm saying that's the nice way, but that, it's still
that's,
like
that's the nigga, gist of it. They're basically saying I didn't lose this by my fault. I lost this because I was going against that motherfucker.
Tiger, nigga.
I don't think they're saying that.
Why are you crazy? Tiger and Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd, I get no,
not Floyd either.
What? Oh my God!
I think
for the younger
part.
Fighters that fought Floyd, yes. The older fighters felt like they fought him too.
I don't feel like Zab Judah feel that way. I don't feel like Ricky Hatton really feel that way.
He beat the shit out of Ricky Hatton.
I'm not saying he didn't.
I don't feel like De La Hoya feel that
I
way.
I don't feel like they feel
he
that
beat
way.
Beat the shit out of. Oh
I'm not
my
saying he didn't.
God.
I definitely don't feel like Pacquiao feel that way.
No.
Oh my.
I don't think they. I don't think they feel that way.
I think they might have felt that way about Tyson.
About Tyson
though.
For sure.
I was gonna say Tyson, maybe Muhammad Ali.
Nah, I think they was throwing plumbers at Tyson until he ran into a real boxer, and Tyson got exposed.
Yeah.
Who? How?
Holyfield for sure outboxed Tyson, but that was more of Tyson's. That speaks more to Tyson's greatness to me. Tyson, that never went past what six rounds, seven rounds before then.
They were because they were throwing brawlers at him. And he was knocking him out.
He was
out.
Just knocking their ass
when
the fuck
Tyson
out.
Went against a boxer, he was exposed.
Nah, his,
and
his
career was never the same after that.
His mindset wasn't the same. Like when his mindset, his mindset as a competitor
right
wasn't
right
the same.
Custom auto died right
his
right
mindset right. as a competitor wasn't the same. Like that's different. That's different. He was still fighting fighters.
What about Buster?
He whooped Buster's ass. How many times I tell you he whooped Buster's ass? Go watch the fight. He knocked that nigga out. Buster was down there damn near 20 seconds. He knocked that nigga out.
But that's when he was going through that all that Robin Givens shit anyway.
He
so
was smoking
we understood.
Dope.
We understood.
When did Custom Auto die?
He came and bought dope before he left to get on the plane to fucking Japan.
Who knocked out, Tyson in his prom?
Who was that?
Buster.
Okay.
Who he knocked out.
All right. And then who was the first boxer he went against?
It probably be Holyfield then. Like Holyfield was probably the next time he really got a fight. Holyfield was probably the next time he got a fight, but he had a different mindset though.
Nay, nay, nigga.
That's a different mindset.
I think a lot of boxers could have went longer with Tyson if they wasn't so afraid to get in the ring.
And then the second one, I can't whoop this nigga, so I'm gonna bite his ear.
That's Holyfield. Yeah.
That's Holyfield.
And then he went up against another boxer,
Lennox Lewis,
in the Jamaican nigga. And what happened?
But you, so you think the white boy who whooped Tyson would have whooped his ass in Tyson prime?
It's the Manny Pacquiao shit all over again. Like I'm gonna throw these brawlers at you because I know you're gonna knock them out. But when I throw a counter punch at you,
nobody was talking Manny Pacquiao versus Hell Floyd no. until Manny Pacquiao knocked out Ricky Hatton. That is Manny Pacquiao's career. That threw him up 10 levels at that point. When he put Ricky Hatton to sleep, that was it. That boosted Manny Pacquiao.
When he fought Marquez,
Marquez beat that boy ass every time. That is the most pissed off fucking boxing match I could see.
I'm telling you, bro,
Manny Pacquiao, Marquez.
Nigga, they was throwing plumbers and shit at Tyson, bro. Yeah. When he went up against a fucking boxer, it was night.
No, I'm not saying that.
Until then, Tyson was whooping shit.
Tell me I'm lying, bro.
I would say Roy Jones before.
When Roy Jones, when that chin got exposed.
Oh, when he went down.
Night.
Before that, though, on a talent level.
These are all different competitors, though. By the time Roy Jones started getting whooped, he didn't give a fuck about boxing no more.
But so you got to think of
me being a competitor,
up.
Me still being the best, me wanting to be the best person. As far as I'm training for this, and I feel like I'm still being the best. Tyson wasn't doing that.
What I'm saying
this nigga is, smoking dope and fucking bitches before a fight.
This is that's his fault.
He's
not
dead.
Exactly.
What
I'm saying,
he whooped their ass.
This is what I'm saying. The only one, Tyson. The only one out of all the boxers we just named, and I'm saying Floyd because. Floyd was never exposed. Once Tyson and the rest of these niggas, once these boxers found their weak spot, time and time again they were getting knocked the fuck out.
I give you Floyd for being the fighter that he is, but I don't think Floyd is respected as much as he should be respected. Like a lot of fighters, when you speak on Floyd, they're like, oh, well, he breezes his way through. He don't fight no more. He run the whole fight. Yeah. They giving him the fight because of he ran for 12 rounds, and it's Floyd Mayweather, so we don't want to give the belt to nobody else. You get that a lot.
I ain't never seen nobody beat
so
Floyd.
So he's not respected. I haven't either, but he's not respected.
I think Castillo.
He not respected. Oh, yeah. He whooped his
that
ass.
That might have been his first L.
Oh, my God. He whooped his ass.
That low-key might have been his first L.
He whooped his ass. But so I don't think the competitors say against Floyd what they said against Mike.
So Floyd's a he's also a competitor.
I like to do this a lot.
First of all, shout out to Manny. He's an awesome competitor. Do y'all think MJ would have retired for good if social media had existed?
Fuck yeah.
At that time, yeah, I think that would have been it for MJ.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah. I don't, and you know what but I don't know. I think because after this incident, he kind of like went in his shadow. But again, I don't think MJ cared about the media talking about his gambling. I think what pissed him off was when they started saying it impacted his game. He was letting down his teammates. That's when it was like, oh, you niggas got me.
Either way,
fucked
social
up.
Media would have expanded that shit, so.
Yeah, and I think with social media, I don't think by him going to Birmingham, he would have escaped the spotlight. The spotlight would have remained the same.
Followed him to Birmingham. Yeah,
absolutely.
So
it would have been exposed way before the media got to it.
Yeah. And also, man, this makes me want to go get this book. But I didn't realize that the Jordan Rules book did as much damage, like as it did. That was kind of like the beginning of the end. It seemed.
So why ain't nobody on Horace Grant head though?
Horace Grant say he ain't snitch.
everybody else on the team is like Horace Grant did.
You know,
maybe
because I'm so young, but I didn't know like Horace Grant felt like he was in Jordan's shadow, or maybe I didn't know Horace Grant was such a beast.
Yeah, maybe it's I didn't think Jordan felt like I don't think Horace Grant felt like he was in the shadow either at the time. You know what I'm saying? Or you know that ain't what I got, but I knew Horace Grant was a beast.
Your horse.
Somebody was snitching, and it tore that whole motherfucking. It basically tore the team up.
It fucked the team up for sure.
I want to get that book now.
The Jordan Rules.
I want to get that book. I want to see what the fuck that nigga was talking about.
That shit crazy. I struggle to understand. Like, why would you feel like you and Michael Jordan shadow? Like, you're Horace Grant. Like, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not. I don't think it was just Horace though.
I don't think he was just Horace either.
But you're not going to tell me you was kicking it with this dude and said nothing. Or the shit you were saying was off the record and he put it in the book anyway.
Facts.
Probably thought it was his homeboy.
He threw all that shit up in there.
Well, Horace Grant looked like me in that way. Buffing shit, that little ass shirt, you know what I'm saying?
I like Isaiah though with the snapback. Like, yeah, these niggas saying this shit in the media. But when
I'm telling you, man.
I see them niggas, these niggas don't be on none of that.
Because I look at shit like that and I look at when niggas create narratives. I look at when niggas gang up. And it just be this one nigga on the side, man. And everything, I just feel like everything ain't what it's been. Everything that we've been told ain't true.
I think some of it is true. I think that there's always going to be some truth in it. I like how he handled himself.
Do I think they didn't like him? I do feel that way. And I do feel like a lot of it, I know him and Scotty didn't get along, but I feel like as far as him and Jordan, I already told y'all, like, nigga, I'm from the south side of Chicago.
Jordan still was like, no matter how much I hate them, so Jordan still don't give a fuck about
them. I still think Jordan. I think they all had a play in it. Mm. I feel like
Isaiah was the ultimate competitor and went at all of them niggas. Him and Magic was best friends, I believe. And when they got on that court, nigga, it was fuck you. And I believe a lot of those players took that off, took what was on the court, and took it off the court.
I think the HIV thing did have something to do with it.
That was a low blow.
I can't remember where I saw that, but I know they were talking about like when Isaiah would come to town, Magic Johnson would always look out for dude. Like had a room at his house that was Isaiah's. When the Pistons come to town to play, this is Isaiah's room. Like he stay here. So that to me, that for him to have these competitive battles with all these other players and still have these relationships versus this one player, I don't get it. It has to be something deeper than basketball. Because the Celtics would beat the shit out of him too. But he cool as fuck. Him and Larry, damn near best friends. Seem like every time you see them in the media, they together, they smiling and laughing. So why don't he have these kind of, why does he not have this kind of animosity towards Larry Bird? Why is it just Isaiah? It can't. I always look at the common denominator. Like, some of this shit might not be true, but the common denominator in all of this situation is you. So all of this shit can't be completely untrue. Niggas can't just keep making up this whole narrative with you as the common denominator, and none of this shit be true.
That's how I feel.
Thanks. Well, I want to know, what did Isaiah say about Magic?
They called him gay. I think he said he insinuated that. Because, again, we didn't know a lot about HIV initially.
Well, no one did at that time.
So, at the time.
It was like the corona.
It was the gay man's disease.
That's facts.
I think when I first heard about it, like, you know, at the time, I was like 8, 7, 8, 9, somewhere around there. So, like, niggas was like, yeah, if a nigga go to the bathroom, you got to wait 10 minutes or you going to get AIDS. That's the era all this shit is happening there. Like, so shit. I legit used to be, like, holding my pee, like, nigga, because I can't go to the bathroom, I'm going to get AIDS. We don't know. We didn't know where the fuck AIDS came from or how it was cured. None of that.
It was for sure thought of as the gay man.
It was the gay person.
Thomas wanted to know if a bisexual lifestyle has led to Magic's HIV virus. Yep. And Isaiah went about the locker room and NBA community openly wondering the true sexuality of Johnson.
I had a gay uncle that died from AIDS. So. Shout out Uncle Louie.
I had an aunt that died from AIDS, and she was definitely not gay.
Yeah.
I had an uncle that died from it, but he on heroin.
Okay,
He got
heroin.
But also, it does say that was a rumor that Isaiah said that, right? But then it says, complicating the issue further, Isaiah had a brother, Gregory,
who died
of AIDS. Yeah. So Isaiah is saying, for that very reason, why would I say something of that nature?
How did his brother get it, though? Would be the question I'd ask. Yeah. If your brother was gay and got it from homosexual sex, to me, that would make you more implicit to be going around and be like, okay, well, Magic has it, so the only contact I have with this disease is from my brother who was homosexual.
It says, following Magic's diagnosis. God damn.
Jesus Christ, Floyd.
I'm glad it ain't me.
It says, Thomas himself had fought for Johnson's inclusion in the 92 All-Star game and greeted him with a kiss during handshakes to show that he wasn't afraid of Magic's condition. Then, as Magic details in the book, arose the issue of Thomas questionably being kept off the Dream Team in 92. And Magic explains that he had a personal role in securing Thomas' absence from the Olympic squad.
Well, that explains why he was on the All-Star game in 92.
It said, it was well known that Michael Jordan didn't want to play with Thomas and that Jordan was a primary reason that Thomas was excluded, while Chris Mullin, Scottie Pippen, and Christian Laettner were added to the roster.
Yeah, Pippen the only one that shouldn't have been there at the time.
You know,
if we're talking accomplishments, Pippen hadn't got going yet. That was Pippen's like first All-NBA team that year.
Pippen had two championships back-to-back.
Yeah, but he was on a championship team, yes. I'm talking about, remember, we're talking about personal accomplishments at this point.
Then Chris Mullin definitely shouldn't have been there.
Chris Mullin was a five-time motherfucking All-NBA player at that time. Chris Mullin won All-NBA that year over Pippen.
That's okay. Wild. Well,
that's crazy.
That's it, fellas.
So it begs the question, did Magic Johnson start going around? I mean, did Isaiah Thomas start going around questioning Magic's sexuality prior to him coming back or after?
They was talking about 92. And they were saying, it was saying that Isaiah felt blindsided by the move because they were still cordial in the limelight. So, I don't know, man. Shit is nasty.
Yeah, yeah.
Next week, y'all.
I ain't no joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck who we are. We out of here.
Y'all niggas know this is News from the 7, man. Peace.